Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah Daf Samach. We begin 6 lines off the top of the Amud. Once again, back to the topic of Stam Yeinam Goysha wine, Yain Nesach wine that was poured or sloshed by a Goy in honor of the Avodah Zarah as a form of worship. There are many different levels to the Isser depending on the intensity of the interaction, of how closely the Goy associated or interacted with the wine, whether it was direct contact, touch, by way of a medium, just pouring, etc., etc. So going through all these stories and different cases in the Gemara perhaps will sort of generate some level of confusion in terms of how to classify and how to, organize these various halachos and after going through it, perhaps Bezos Hashem at the end, we'll just make a quick summary. We'll try to clarify the general guidelines and see how it pertains to us, nowadays in terms of Yain Akum. Okay, so let's begin 6 lines off the top. Omrav Papa. In the first case, it was a goy who was pouring. He wasn't touching the wine. He was pouring out of a barrel into the container that the yid was holding. Oyvet kichavim ad dana. Dana is the barrel. So the guy is in charge of the barrel. He's pouring from the barrel into the kuva. Kuva is a pitcher or container in the hands of a yid. The Yisrael, he was holding the container, a kuva. What happens to that wine? It wasn't touched by the guy, but it was poured. That's called kaychai, right? It was his action, his maase. So that wine becomes usr. Chamra, usr. It's usr. Although there was no direct contact, as Rashi brings, kaychai is enough, a sufficient reason to make it usr. My taima, the Gemara explains, ki ka'asi mi kaych oivet kacham ka'asi, when it was being poured. Ki ka'asi, the wine was coming from, through the kayach, mikayach, ayud kachavim kas. That's how it came into the container below. And some say Rashi means even asr bahana, some disagree. It's just asr to drink because of that, involvement. What if it's the other way around? The yid is pouring into the container which the guy is holding. Yisrael adana. The yid is on the barrel. Ayud kachav makuv, and the guy is on the container. In this case, Chamra Shari, the wine is perfectly fine. The Yid poured it, no problem there. The guy is just holding the container. He's not sloshing, he's not being mekarkesh, he's not being mechashchesh, he's not shaking or pouring. Right? It's okay. But v'mitzadat tzedudi, if you see the guy is sort of moving the container around, right, then it's asr. Rashi says, because that's called kirkush, shikshuch, sloshing. So in this case, you cannot drink that wine. Amrav Papa, here comes another case. Hai oivet kicham. The dari zika. So the yid is following behind the guy who's carrying this zika. Zika is a noid kosher, says Rashi. A closed up leather pouch, which contains wine inside. So it's closed up. He's not touching the wine, just carrying the pouch, carrying the, container. Hai oiv kicham de dari zika. He's carrying the zika, v'kazl, and walking along. Sorry, v'kazl Yisrael acharei, and the yid is following right behind and observing to ensure the guy doesn't actually open it and touch the wine. No direct contact. Question is, but the guy was transporting it and perhaps shaking it, and perhaps that's considered like a nisuch. So it depends. Malya, if the container is full to the brim, and shari, it's okay because there's no dilemma character, there's no movement. He's not shaking it, there's no movement. The wine is staying pretty much in place. Chasera asa, but if it's missing, so there's some, space inside the container, then it's a problem. Dilemma mekarkish. There's a concern that perhaps the guy was intentionally moving and shaking it as a way of worshiping his idol. So again, regarding a closed container, the issue is only if it's missing, because then there's shaking. But if it's a kuba is that flask, that container discussed earlier. So in this case, we're speaking that it's open, open on top, uncovered. So here, the halacha switches. It's just the opposite. He doesn't really want to shake that thing for concern that the wine is going to spill out. So even if he happens to shake it, Rashi says, it's okay because there are two mitigating factors. First of all, it's indirect. It's just koichai. Secondly, it's shalei b'kavana. It's without intention. So it's certainly okay. So the problem is not because of the shaking. What then is the issue? Perhaps he touched it while he was holding on to the brim of the, you know, he's holding it from the top. His hands were right near the opening. So the kuba, if it's mali, if it's filled, in which case the liquid, the level of liquid, reaches the top. Usher then is concerned because Dilmanaga, perhaps his finger went into the wine. But if it's chasera, if it wasn't filled to the top, sure, then it's okay to lay nugget because he didn't, you see, he didn't put his fingers inside. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi will disagree with the first halacha regarding that zika, regarding that closed, you know, pouch. He says, no concern whatsoever, even if it's only partially filled, in which case the wine is sort of sloshing around. No concerns because he's just transporting it. He's not thinking about, right? Bein malyu or bein chaser or shari, whether it's filled or it's partially filled, it's okay. My time, you know why? Ein derech nisuch bekach. It's not the way to do nisuch. He's just transporting it. He's not thinking about sloshing and about pouring and about shaking it. So it's okay. And Rashi and Tosfos brings vachi kaimelon. That's how we pass in Karav Ashi du basra, because that's the final authority. Rashi came after the other amoraim, so we pass him like the last and final authority. So, if a guy's transporting your bottle, he's just transporting it, he's not doing shikshuk, he's involved in you know, just moving it from one place to the next, that's not called derech nisuch, unless he, you know, stops and he deliberately makes a pour or a shake or a vibration. Ma'atra zaira. Ma'atra is a wine press. Rashi brings a pasuk and shaved him. Vayazer. He says, Zaira is a machbesh, vayozer. So, Lashon Zaira means it's squished. So, the matra is a wine press. There are different types of wine presses, different methods they use to extract the liquid. One would be through stomping, through being doirech, which we discussed a couple of days ago, in Daf Nunhei. And we actually learned that you shouldn't allow a goy into that process, because he shouldn't be interacting with these grapes and with the juice that oozes out of the grapes, which is considered like wine and would be usher if the guy interacts with that. But what if it's a different type of wine press, a matra zaira, that they don't stomp, they don't trample on the... there's a beam, a kaira, a heavy beam, which they place upon the grapes. They lower it and they squeeze it onto the grapes. So it's a matra zaira. And the question is, could you hire a guy to work in your wine press? Rav Papa Shari said it's okay. Rav Ashi Vitema, Rav Sim Barashi Asar. So what happens to the wine in that place? Rav Papa says it's okay, you can drink the wine. We actually learned the other day, L'chatchili, you shouldn't be allowing a guy into your wine operation at all. But we're speaking, I guess, after the fact, so it's done. What do you do? Rav Papa says it's okay. There's no concern of Yai Nesach, Rav Ashi, Vitema, some say Rav Shimi Barashi, Asar, he says the wine is forbidden. Now, what exactly happened? How did he, you know, process this wine? B'koichai, if it was a single koyach, so basically, Rashi says you have the planks of wood on the grapes, and the guy sort of, you know, walks all over it, or he puts the beam down on it. So, in that case, it's called koichai. Right? It's just one level of indirectness. Right? He's not actually stomping the grapes with his feet. He's using some sort of tool, some sort of means, some sort of medium, boards, beams, whatever, right? So in this case, kuli amo lepligi de asr, all agree that it's a problem, it's asr. You can't drink the wine. Because we learned this many times, even if it's not direct contact, it's just kaychay, it's asr. Right? Keep far away from yayin esach. We keep our distance, right? Anything that relates to any form of interaction is asr. Keep ligi b'kayach kaychay. What if it's twice removed? Rashi explains. Kigoyin, he says, shemagalgal ha-galgal, this is Rashi on the bottom. So you this sort of wheel, the sort of pulley system that you turn here, and the beam, you know, comes down, down, down. So basically, it's twice removed. You're turning the wheel, which is then in turn turning the beam and lowering it onto the, it's like a screw system, like a corkscrew. You're turning the lever, and that lowers the beam, and that's koyach koyach, it's twice removed. So in this case, it's not considered interaction with the wine. And that's where we have the machlekes, right? So that case is subject to machlekes. Some say it's okay. Some say even that's considered goyish wine. Some have a different gerusa. If it's twice removed, if it's a double koyach, you know, system, all agree it's okay because he's far enough from the actual end product. The machlekes applies if it's a single kayach. He's the one that places the beam directly. In fact, it was a story that the wine press employed the kayach kayach system. But also, Rav Yaakov of Narpakoid disallowed that wine. And he says even kayach kayach would be asr. So the wine is usher for drinking. There was another story. Ayichavisa, barrel, the paka, the arka. Suddenly it's falling apart. It burst. It's split lengthwise. And the wine is oozing out. Idri. So there was this guy standing by. He jumped up to save the day. Idri. He hugged the barrel tightly shut. And he saved the day. Did he really save the day, or did he make it worse? So Shari Rafram Rapapa. So Rafram Rapapa allowed the wine. He said, "You can drink it. You can't. Sorry, you can sell it. You can't drink it." And the Farshim explained because, after all, there was contact. There was interaction. Some say because he touched the wine that was oozing out, so there was actually direct contact, even though it was Shalei B'Kavan, he was trying to save the barrel. Some explain because Rashi sounds like that, because he was actually forcing the sections back together, so by doing so he was sort of moving the wine within it. It's almost like the story we had of the stick, that he was moving the wine using the stick. And again, even though it's Shalei B'Kavan, that wasn't his intent, he was trying to save the day, but there was a negia, albeit indirect negia. So drinking would be off limits, but you can actually have anah, you can sell it and get paid for the wine. So whose opinion was that? Rav from Rapapa, Vitema, Rav Huna Breda Bishua, either him or him, allowed this wine to be sold. Lezvune, right? You can sell it like you come to a guy. We shouldn't drink it. Vahanimila, but that's only a concern the Pakala Urka, if it got split lengthwise, as we explained. So there was some sort of influence on the wine. So the guy had some sort of, you know, impact on the wine and the position of the wine by forcing it back together and, you know. Avalefuse. But if the split occurred widthwise, so there's not much wine. It's maybe a slight trickle and it just had to be sort of clamped together. There was not much to do there. He just has to sort of weigh it back. His weight would be needed to keep that, you know, section firm on the other section. So since it hadn't really come apart as significantly as the previous story, so in this case, You can even drink the wine within, even though it was clamped shut by the guy. My time, you know why? Because his contribution was relatively insignificant. Masa levena kovid. He was just like a brick, basically. He was using his weight. Masa levena like a brick kovid. That's all he was doing. Rashi says, he was just adding his weight over the top section to keep it firmly in place. It's not considered like he touched the wine within. It's not considered like he interacted with the wine within. In the first section, the sections actually moved apart. He had to sort of clamp it back shut. So there was movement, there was interaction, there was... He sort of changed the position of the wine within. But here, it split widthwise. It was about to come apart, but it hadn't yet, you know, shifted. So as long as he was there to save it by just putting his weight on it and keeping it in place, we don't consider that interaction with the wine within. So you could even drink it. Here comes another story. So you come into your wine press, officially a kosher wine press, and you see a guy walking around. What are you doing here? So what happens to the wine within? Did he touch it? Did he do shichshuch? Was he menasich? Amar Rav Ashi. Well, it depends. Depends what you have in the wine press. If you have real liquid in there, tefech means it's wet enough latfiach to be transferred to another surface. So if you touch that liquid, it's wet enough that enough transfers onto your hands. In which case, if you touch another surface, that surface would become, you know, moist. That's an indication of true liquid. So then, yeah, by yadach or by nigav, if you really do a solid cleansing, thorough cleansing operation on this wine press, you have to rinse it, or by nigav, you have to go clean it out with caustic materials, with detergents, right? To clean out your, to kasher your wine press. But if it's just a drop moist, not really wet, not really considered liquid, so even if the guy touched it, just give it a rinse and you're good. Taisus explains that since it's not true liquid, so even if there's something absorbed within the wine press from, you know, past times, it's not really considered connected. Right? So the residue, so to speak, that you find on the surface of your gas, of your wine press, doesn't really connect to the residue embedded within the walls of the wine press. So if it's really truly liquid, so they connect, it's all one entity. So you got to really extract any residue from within the walls. But if it's just moist, so even if the guy touched that, so that part is forbidden, rinse it off. But it's not considered like he came into contact with the residue in the walls of that kli, of the wine press, because there isn't really no connection. Because this residue is not really considered one and the same entity as the embedded residue within the wall. So explains the Tosfos. So it's not considered like he came into contact with the residue in the wall. So all you need to do is rinse the surface material, surface, you know, moisture, and you're good. Okay, let's continue the next sugyo. We'll better Hashem finish up, and then we'll go back and do a quick count of all the, you know, cases and different categories. So we have a story of a guy. Once again, a guy. So we have a bar with kosher wine. Your wine. Fine wine. And the guy is standing nearby. What are you doing there? So perhaps did he touch it? Did he interact with the wine? Did he make it yayin esach? What's the status of that wine? So it depends. If the guy can sort of justify why he would touch the wine, let's say he had a claim, an outstanding claim against the Yisrael, who owed him money, and perhaps he would excuse his interaction with the wine by saying, well, I'm just coming to collect my debt, right, from this wine. So yeah, that's what it depends on. If he has an alibi or not. If the guy has a milva upon the Yisrael, he has a monetary claim, money is owed to him, an outstanding balance, usher, then the wine becomes usher, because Rashi says he has no fear to touch the wine. Worst case, if I'm caught, I'll say, well, okay, give me the wine instead of the money. That's okay. But im einloi, right? So if he has a mulva, it's also im einloi mulvalov, mutter. He has no monetary claim. He has no business touching the wine, and the wine is deemed to be protected. Right? He doesn't get into trouble touching the Jew's wine, so he's not going to touch it. Nafala bar v'alo. Suppose the guy tripped into a bar full of wine, and he survived. He's out of it. What's the status of that wine? Or mother died because, so certainly there was contact, very direct contact, very personal contact, but it was unintentional. It was an accident. Or we have similar cases of unintentional contact. The guy came along with a measuring, you know, stick to test the depth of the barrel or depth of the bar to see how deep it was, to see how much. He wasn't trying to touch the wine per se, just figure out how deep the thing is. It is this atzira bekano. He came to flick away a wasp, atzira. He noticed a little fly, flicked it out with a stick. By doing so, he inevitably touched the wine with that stick. It was a barrel, merusachas, which was foaming and fermenting, and he was just tamping down the fermentation, the foam. So, yeah, he touched, but he wasn't trying to touch the wine per se. B'chalel, in all these cases, since it's called maga shalei bekavana, there was some sort of touch, but it was without intention. He wasn't trying to touch the wine per se. Hayamasa, so these are all actual stories that were presented to the Chachamim. V'amru, and the response was, you can't drink it, that's a chumra, right? But you can sell it, you can have anah, yimach. However, Rav Shimon Mater, Rav Shimon says, you know what, if it's not yayin esach, you can even drink it. So it's one or the other. Either it's totally forbidden, or it's totally permitted. He doesn't hold to the, you know, in-between system. He says, if it's okay, then it's okay to drink. One last case. A guy got mad. And as an expression of his madness, of his anger, he took something and he threw it into your bar of wine. So here, in a way, it's more lenient because he was totally removed. He threw it. By the time the item came into contact with the target, it had left his hands already. The guy grabbed an empty barrel and in his anger, threw it into the pit, and it landed on the wine. Is that okay? Yeah. Zeho yamasa v'yachshiru. So in response to a story that actually occurred, they said it's okay. Omar Shmuel, back to the first halacha in the Mishnah. The guy has been discovered near your wine. Mishnah says, if the guy has a milva, has a claim against you, then you have to fear for the safety of your wine. V'usha yesh l'milva alisa yayin. Says Shmuel, that's only if the guy had a direct claim on this wine. This wine had been presented as a security, as a collateral. So then he feels Hamish. He feels, okay, he has a right to take the wine. So again, Amar Shmuel Buhu, this is only a concern. So simply having an outstanding loan, outstanding debt to the guy, doesn't provide the guy with enough cover, an excuse to touch the wine. He's afraid to touch it and get into trouble. But if he has a muva alo yisei yayin, this wine was earmarked to be used as payment for that loan in case of, you know, default, then the guy feels comfortable touching it. Amar Ravashi, Masis Namideka. This distinction, this chiddush of Shmuel, which in a way is a leniency, because it's only a concern if, right, it was posed as a security, can be learned from the next Mishnah. This none. Amatar Yenish Shalev Gicham. So sometimes what they would do is they would use a geisha facility to produce kosher wine, to be sold to Jewish customers. In the meantime, so that's called Metahar Yenish Lev Kechav. He uses the facilities and he makes the wine tahir, free of any concerns, any kashrus issues, but he leaves it in his storage, you know, cellar. Until customers will come along, buy the wine, and then he'll pay the guy for the wine. So in the meantime, it was sort of on credit. And the guy gave him a sort of a green light. Sure, pick it up whenever you want, sell it. You pay me later, I trust you. So he gave him the sort of receipt. His kabaltim chamois, I already got paid from you. Rashi says, he meant to say is, look, I'm not holding back the wine. It's as though you paid me. Enjoy it, sell it, and pay me later. So although it's sitting in the guy's jurisdiction, it's mutter, it's okay. And Rashi adds, provided it's under lock and seal. So it's no concern that the guy tinkered and tampered. He's afraid to touch it, lest he lose his business. But, avalam yirtzu yisrael lo yitzia. But imagine, If the guy would not allow the yid to take delivery of the wine until he pays for it. So if the yid chooses to go pick it up, The guy wouldn't allow it. Until he pays him for the wine. That's a different story. So here, the Jew owes the guy money. Right? An outstanding debt for producing the wine. And the guy is perceiving this wine as a security for that debt. So that's more strict. That's more concerning. Zeh Yamas, Beishan. This exact story happened in Beishan Va'astru. Chachamim disallowed the wine. Why? Because A, the guy was owed money. That's not enough. We need this additional factor as well, that the wine was sort of posted as a security for payment of that debt. So now the guy feels comfortable tampering with the wine, touching it. Look, it's my wine. You owe me the money. And he doesn't feel deterred. Time of day manicha. Oh, apparently it's only a concern if the guy doesn't allow it to be picked up without payments. Then it's considered like a security collateral, which the guy feels like he's the owner. Ha manicha shari, but if you allow him to pick it up, it would be okay despite the fact. Shmamina, we learn from him, milba aloi siyan beina shmamina. It's only a concern if the guy's debt is sort of applied to the wine and earmarked as payment for that debt. But otherwise, even if he's owed money, if the guy does not perceive this wine as the apoteki, as the collateral, as the security, the fact is he allows the Jew to take it even before payment, then it's okay, because the guy would not tamper with that wine. Nafal barva ala, so the guy slipped into the boir of wine and he came out alive. It's okay. Amar Papa Leishona, it's only true al shal ala mace. He came out mace, so he drowned in the wine. Aval ala chay asur, he came out alive. The wine is asur. You know why? Because on his way up, he was sort of flapping and shaking and thanking his idol, which makes it ayin esach. My tummy, you know what the problem is? Amar Papa, the dummy alei kiyam edom. It appears to him like he treats it like a holiday, which we discussed back in the beginning of Al Masechta. It's a time to express his sentiments to his God and thanksgiving. So, yeah, the wine on the way up was worshipped, was sort of poured and offered to his idol while he was thanking for his survival. So it's asr as yayin esach. Madad bekana. We have the other examples where there was a indirect interaction, shalei bekavana, such as when he measured the wine, kol elu hayamasa. All these actually occurred. Amr Yimachad Chacham said you can sell it. Shimon Matir, he says you can even drink it. Amr Vada Bar Ava, Yunuchalei Rav Shimon Brachas Aroishe. Rav Shimon should be blessed, because he makes it very clear and consistent. Shu Matir, in cases where he's lenient, Matir Filu B'Shti, he allows it even to drink, to be drunk. Uksho Isa, when he disallows the wine, Isa Filu B'Ano, he says you can't even have it. So it's one way or the other. There's no middle ground. Amr Chia Breder Rav Abba, the Abba Bar Nachmeni, Amr Chizda, Amr Rav. Rav, some say Amr Chizda, Amr Ziri. Halacha is in fact Rav Shimon. Then in these cases you can even drink. Ikad Amri, there was another version of Amr Chizda. Amrli, to me it was said by Abba Bar Chanan, Hachi Amri, Amar Ziri. So said Ziri, Halacha Rav Shimon, we pass on Rav Shimon, but the Gemara actually concludes not so. Vein Halacha Rav Shimon, no, we don't allow these things to be drunk. So although there was no physical touch, and even that sort of interaction was Shalei B'Kavana, was for a different purpose, it's still usher to be drunk. In the final case, he threw something. Not al chavetz v'zarka, b'chamos l'bar, zoy ma'aseh v'yichshir, he threw the barrel into the pit, that's okay. I'm Rav Ashi. You know why? Because only direct contact, or by way of a stick or something, would be considered maga akum and make it usher. But this sort of toss and throw, it's not a concern, because it's disconnected from the thrower. And Rav Ashi actually formulates a sort of a formula, an equation. So we know that a izav, person who's a izav, who's tamei, who comes into contact with something, whether he touches something or, actually touches it with his flesh, or Rashi calls it bechibur, and he's holding a pen, right? And he touches something. That's also considered the touch of the izav, and that item becomes very tamei. But if he should toss something, then it's unaffected because there was no direct interaction. Likewise, says Rav Ashi, the same exact rules apply to Yayin Nesach. So the guy actually touches with his finger, it's Asr. Or he touches, you know, with a medium, but it's direct touch, it's Asr. But if he throws, that's not considered engagement, and it's okay. And that explains the halacha in the Mishnah with the barrel that was tossed into the wine. Omar Rabashi, Kol Shebezov Tomei, any sort of contact, which if it was executed by Ezov, that item would become Tomei, but Yichav Mois Yayin Nesach, likewise. If a guy should choose to come into contact with that wine in the same manner, it becomes Yayin Nesach. Kol Shebezov Tor, but if it's something tossed at the other person, so when done by Ezov, that person is still Tor. Likewise, Bavik Yechavim was tossed by a guy onto the wine. It doesn't turn into Yayin Nesach. Esri Rafunul Ravashi had a question. The Raisa says, not al Sachavis Vizraka, b'chamasu lebar. Okay, so the guy picked the barrel up and threw it in anger at the pit of wine. Zahayamas, Beishan Vechshiru, and Beishan they allowed it. B'chamasu in. It sounds like it's only okay because he was mad. It was just an expression of anger. In which case, he wasn't thinking worship, wasn't thinking, you know, pagan involvement, right? Apparently, if there's no anger element, you don't see him being angry. So, it would be considered Yayin Nesach. It is considered interaction with that wine. In contrast to Rav Ashi, who states it as a fact, that through a toss, through a throw, there's no effect. Says the Gemara, no. If you would actually throw it, the wine is safe. Hasam, the ka'azu minei uminei, the brisa, which stipulates this sort of precondition, that if it was an expression of anger, it's okay, but otherwise it's not. We're not speaking that he threw it into the bar. In that case, he was pushing, till he got to the pit and pushed it in. The ka'azal minei was going from him, meaning it was rolling into the bar. So since he pushed it all the way to the pit, there's a good chance that he may have actually, when he dropped it in, he may have touched that wine and done this. So that's a problem. Right? But certainly in a case where he actually stood from a distance and just threw it, that's too far removed. There's no issue of yayin nesech or maga akum. Okay, let's go back and try to sort of make get you know the cases organized, at least on a very basic level. So, first cases which are clear cut. The classic Yayin Nesach is shichshach, which means to say there's a container of wine and he puts his hand and he moves it around, he sloshes it in front of the Avodah Zarah, or with the Avodah Zarah in his mind. That is considered Avodah Zarah, that is considered Yayin Nesach, which is Asr, to drink or to have Anah. That's Asr Minatir. That's a given. Anything you know less than that is typically only Asr Midrabbanan. For concern that it could bring to the actual Yayin Nesach, right? So we keep a distance, and even Maga, the guy just touches the wine. He didn't slosh it, he didn't do Shikshuk. In that case, Asr Midrabbanan, you can't drink it. But you could have Anah. On the other side of the spectrum, you have Zrika, right? The last case we discussed. He affected the wine by throwing something at it. That would be okay. There's no interaction whatsoever. He didn't do shichshach, he didn't do maga. That's mutter. Likewise, koyach koyecha we discussed, right? If he pushed something which pushed something else, right? Twice removed, that was actually subject to machlekes. What if it's koyecha, direct, you know, koyach? Shalei bekavano. Right, so let's say there was wine in a container, and he was moving it around without kavana for nisach, just you know, walking along the road. Right, so koyach shel bekavana, Rashi says it's totally mutter based on the Gemara a couple of days ago, right? Manches, which is mutter, which says that it's okay because we have two mitigating factors, right? You have, first of all, it wasn't direct contact, it was just koichai. And also it was without intent, so it's mutter. But when it's just one mitigating factor, and one problematic factor, so let's say it's koichai, He didn't actually touch the wine. It was in a container. She moved around, and it was bekavana. He knew what he was doing, right? He's pouring it, sloshing it around, right? So in this case, it's usur. Certainly usur to drink. In some cases, maybe it's even usur b'hanah if he really was trying to, right? Then we have the other side of this coin. We have maga shloi b'kavana. So on the one hand, he touched. So that's it's a negative factor, direct contact, either direct or with a stick. But Roshlei Bekavana, he's just trying to flick the fly away, like the case we had in the Mishnah. So it's one up, one down. There's one mitigating factor and one problematic factor. So in this case as well, it's usur, but only usur to drink, usur b'shtiyah. Okay, so again, if it's real shichshuch, usur min hatorah, even b'hano. Just touching maga, it's usur b'shtiyah. But if it was maga shalei b'kavana, right? So it's, again, that's it's a chumrah and it's asur only b'shtiyah. If it was kaychai b'kavana, again, that's a chumrah of yainesach, and we say it's asur b'shtiyah. Now, pertaining to nowadays, today, in today's day and age. So first off, if the thing is properly sealed, double sealed, it's certainly okay, because even if the guy took it and shook it, it doesn't matter. We'll see that later in the masechta. The guy can't access the wine. He doesn't relate to the wine if it's, you know, behind the seals, right, in the chasima. So today's bottles, which are properly sealed, double sealed, right, bottle is sealed, it's in a box that seals, so the workers in the stores, there's no issue because it's double sealed. In fact, some bottles are also double sealed on their own because the cap is you know, would have to be broken open, and then it has something on top of it as well. Either way, if the guy is just transporting that bottle, wouldn't be an issue either, because it's like we said, he's just walking along. There's no relation to the wine. It's koychesh leib kavana. There's no issue. The issue would arise if you see the guy actually doing shichshuch in the wine. In that case, it would be asur min hatorah. Or even if he just touches the wine, the actual wine, he takes a drink from the bottle, so you know he actually touched. His skin actually touched the wine. That would be asur. Asur min derabbanan. Asur to drink. Right? So, you know, so if there were, let's say, a nanny or somebody in the house, a geisha, a person who has access to the house and there's wine sitting around, ideally it should be mevoshel, right? Cooked wine has no issue with ayinesach. They don't use that for, you know, pagan services. But otherwise, one has to ensure that there's a deterrent factor, mirsas, right? If the guy perceives you to be around all the time, or at least, you know, on occasion, and he doesn't, you know, anticipate your arrival, it's an unexpected, you know, surprise in and out, called nichnas v'yoyse, we'll see that tomorrow, then certainly, again, there's no concern because he wouldn't dare take a drink from your, but otherwise, if it's a living nanny, he's there all the time, and, you know, you're away, and that poses an issue. That certainly poses an issue. Perhaps the guy touched the wine, would make it usur. Now, you know, if the guy just picked up the bottle, you know, the guy picked up the bottle of non-vushal wine, which was not sealed properly, and just moved it from one side of the table to the other, or was cleaning out your brave front of Pesach, right? And you know the guy actually moved the bottle of wine. What's the halacha then? It's certainly okay. Nowadays, the Ramah says, goyim are typically not involved in this type of nisach. It's not a mode of worship that's, you know, common today. So, in the Pesachim, they discussed that there's much room for leniency today. That relating to those cases which are only chumrais. I mean, if you know the guy certainly did shichshuch, there's no question it's usur. But in the case of the kaychai and all these things of moving bottles, all these types of chumrais that we are machmer with the rabbanon, there's room for leniency today, assuming that the guy is not really doing this fabbi dezara, and unless you actually see him do it, just having him, you know, if you move the bottle from one place to the other, we don't have to assume the worst, and in this case, the Paiskim say the wine is still kosher for use. Okay? All the best to you. You should always be zeichet, just eat kosher, and be tar, for Hashem, Hashem v'teir rasay, you should be zeichet, you should be v'tar has, v'ilam hazeh, v'yisem v'skadishtem, v'yisem k'doishem. All the best to you, atzlocha rabbah.